Is he worthy of all of our complete, total, and absolutely absolute trust, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how dire it looks or how the deck is stacked against us? Is he worthy of our trust? I think he is, and I think you do too. But it's not always easy, is it? Sometimes it looks pretty grim, and we might be tempted to have some doubts and have some anger and some frustration and some fear. Happens a lot. It's happened, like John said a little bit ago, it's been happening since the beginning of time. I mean, ever since there were people, we've had these situations. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read our passage, our scripture passage, and then each of you and your groups choose a leader and then choose which part of that passage you want to read. And I'll give those to you after I read the passage, okay? David says, "Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." Okay, so once you pick your leaders, here are your three choices for which part you want to discuss together. The first part is really short, just verses 1 and 2. That's short, easy, maybe easy, definitely short. Verses 3 through 6, that's the other section that I pulled out of here, and then verses 7 and 9. So let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, this is your word. Help us to treat it with the reverence and respect that it deserves. Father, help us to understand the message that you have for us in this and how it applies to us so that we can be more Christ-like, so that we can represent him better to the world around us, to the people we were just discussing and praying about. Father, we ask that you'd open our eyes and open our hearts to your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, start talking. Okay, let's start wrapping up your thoughts. We've got about 30 more seconds. Some of us are already done. Okay, are we all done? Pretty much. All right. Okay. Which group took the first section, verses 1 and 2? Who took the challenging short one? Nobody took that one. You ever think about what it would be like for somebody who knew nothing about God? And this is their first encounter with Scripture. And they come across these two verses, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers." They go, "Say what? That's my main occupation in life. That's what I do." They'll soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. And they're going, "I don't see that happening." Well, David could say that because he had been around the block a little bit. David was an old man when he wrote this psalm. He had been chased for a long, long time by Saul, and did not retaliate against Saul when Saul unjustly tried to kill him, and he slandered him and blasphemed and lied against him, and Saul was just completely crazy. And David said he's God's anointed, and he stood back and waited for God to do what he was going to do. Same thing when his son Absalom, his own son, was trying to kill him, brought an army after him. And David waited on the Lord to deal with Absalom. In fact, loved his son so much that he was extremely distraught when he finally God finally brought his son to justice. It has upset him greatly. So David knew what this was all about. And so that brings us then to verses 3 to 6. I mean, who took 3 to 6? You guys did? Okay. Anybody else? Phil did? All right. Well, let's start back here. Phil? Are you representing the group again?
Yes, I am.
I thought you might.
Okay, specifically, verse 4, it says, "Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Well, as true Christians, our greatest desire should really be to have a personal relationship with God and to do His will. And if we trust in Him in all of our circumstances, whether they're good circumstances or bad circumstances, and ask Him for His assistance, for His help, then just be still and wait for God to act. And we should have faith and trust in the history of His faithfulness to all the promises He ever made.
Good stuff. Thank you, Phil. All right, and let's see, we've got this group over here, right? Who's the spokesman? Tom? Are you it?
Unfortunately.
They got you again, did they?
Alas.
Well, a big piece of what we liked about this was that it departed from the original focus, which was on evildoers, and the end focus, which is more on evildoers, and talked about, well, what are we supposed to do as an alternative? So if I'm not supposed to be all upset because of what I see on the news or what's happening in my neighborhood or whatever, what am I supposed to do? And this lays out a little bit of a blueprint. I'm to trust in the Lord. I am to do good things because I trust in the Lord. I'm to act in a righteous manner. And I'm to take delight in Him. And we talked the longest time about that. How do we take delight in the Lord? And are there things that keep us from taking delight in the Lord? And the three of us kind of agreed that, yeah, in each of our lives, there are things that kind of turn us to delighting in Him and some things that might turn us away. And so the challenge is, how do I delight in Him and allow that delight to change the things that I desire, so that now He can give me what my heart desires because my heart is lined up with Him? And I think for the three of us at least, that's a struggle. Some days goes real well, some days not so real well. But that's the challenge of the passage, is to say, let's do that. Let's take delight in Him. One of the things Jim mentions might seem real simple, but it's a thing that Kathleen and I go through. Sometimes delighting in Him is just watching the butterflies and the bumblebees and the birds in the backyard and realizing how incredible His creation is and how He has allowed us to share that with Him. Why does He make so many kind of birds? Why didn't He make three or four kinds? That's probably where I would have stopped. So it's fascinating to look at it and say, huh, that's a different kind of bird. What's going on there? And that part of the delight comes from seeing God's hand in it.
Did I ruin it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my. That was great. Who else had that middle section? You guys took the last one? Everybody here took the last one? All right. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's get the porch people out here first, as long as I'm here close. Who's the spokesman, the leader for them? That's all right. We'll just make them come farther out, Jim. You got to walk farther, Patty. You got to earn this one.
Do I really need that?
Absolutely. Otherwise, we're going to have a big dead spot on the website, on the recording.
That's okay. I have no problem with that. Well, we were talking about it, and you know, a lot of people who are after the trends and just are never happy because they're not following the Lord, that there's something missing in their life. They're not whole. And we talked about, you know, we know Christ, so we're fulfilled. We are happy in where we are, so we do prosper. We know that when we, you know, where we stand, we know where we're going. We know we're going home. And how do you pray for people who are never happy and they don't know the Lord? And with that, you just basically, all you can do is pray that God will soften their heart and that one day they'll open their eyes and notice that they have a lot to be thankful for and to know God, because if not, they're never going to be happy. They're constantly searching because they're not whole. And that's basically what we talked about.
Oh, very good stuff. You guys are amazing at the stuff that you pluck out of there. All right, who's next? We got you guys. Who's spokesman here? Everybody's pointing. Well, one person pointed at Dennis.
Yeah, because they wouldn't take it. They kept pointing to me. We got rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And it's like you said, sitting and watching the birds. I was thinking of sitting on a hot day in the backyard, and all of a sudden you wait upon that cool breeze that blows upon you, and you just feel blessed. Yeah. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Now, working in government, I see that a lot. They're the ones getting promoted, and you know, and watching the news, which I try not to do anymore. I see that in Congress. Now, cease from anger and forsake wrath. That's one of my weaknesses, because I see them talking, and I get right in their face with it. Do not fret; it leads to evil doing. I guess that's when my anger. I have to focus this upon me mostly. I just I get mad at seeing the evil, and I try to fight back. And I guess my fighting is also evil doing. I got to let God do. For evil goers will be cut off, and those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. And as Glenn said, inheritance is a blessing. It's something that we don't deserve. It's a gift from someone else, like. In a will or something like that. It's something that we didn't earn, but is given to us. So an inheritance is a blessing. And we will inherit the land. And that's not forsaking the land here, but a land somewhere else. And that's what we have to look for, that this, the inheritance is what waits for us.
Thank you, Dennis. That was rich, and that was personal, and that was practical. Good stuff. Thank you. Let's see. I guess you guys are closest, so here you go.
Yeah, kind of in this same vein. You know, it tells us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently, and that's not an easy thing. You know, in God's perspective, though, of eternity, our lives are very, very short, but we're so impatient for things to happen. And we do get upset at when we see the wickedness around us, but it says to cease from anger and abandon wrath because it's going to lead to evil doing. And unfortunately, in the culture and climate today, I see Christians doing things that, because of their anger, you know, is not bringing glory to God. You know, they're not waiting on God. And I think we have to be careful of that, that we don't get caught up. You know, I mean, there's something about righteous anger, but just dwelling in the anger, and it's building up, and it's going to come out somewhere. And I think it can damage our testimony.
That's a really important point, how our anger can hurt our testimony. Let's see. Well, let's go. Let's just work our way on out here. Mildred and Kathleen are next. Who's taking the microphone?
Something that someone in our group of two said that wasn't me. Also brought out the part about wait for the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the land, not just here, but it will be in eternity also.
It's me. Okay, so we're going back to Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And we all know, believing in Jesus Christ, that God has promised us an inheritance. But how many of us want it right now? And not wait for the Lord to work out his plan so that we can have an eternity with him and inherit the land and all the promises he's given us.
Okay, amen. Basically, I'm going to regurgitate a lot of what you said. In fact, Kathy, you just segued right into what I wanted to start with. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to these people who are just furious at the Romans. Here comes these dogs, these Roman dogs, and they come and take over our country, and we got to pay them taxes and obey their laws. And, you know, it's just demeaning. They were furious. They were irate about it. And so Jesus sets them down and says, the blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. They're thinking, no. That's not the way it works. If you looked around, it's not working like that. Nice guys finish last. That's what we all know. Nice guys finish last. And David pretty much says the same thing here, but on a smaller scale, because he's talking to his people, and he's talking about the land that they have inherited already. And he says that those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In both cases, people didn't naturally do what he had said. And we tend not to want to do, as you have already said. This is a struggle for us quite often. We need these reminders now and then, because we get angry and confused. And, you know, Dennis is in my community group, and I pray for him a lot, because I know how he struggles with the injustice that he sees in government. And we all see that in different areas as well. And so, you know, I've been praying for you guys hard all week as I've been getting ready for this, because I know that we all struggle with these kinds of things. We're tempted to get angry and outraged, and it's just no different than it was then. But what they said, even though it doesn't make sense to most people, it does make sense to us because of what the Holy Spirit has done within us. But we still struggle. You know, and the fact that nice guys finish last, well, that might be true here and now, but we know that we're looking for something farther down the road, and that's so. Let me share with you how Paul expressed it. Nobody took abuse like Paul did. He was slandered and maligned and betrayed and beaten and left for dead and bit by snakes and you name it. It happened to Paul. And so he says to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, he says, so we do not lose heart. He says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction, think about that one for a minute. I mean, all the stuff that he's gone through, and he calls it light and momentary affliction. That's a different perspective than what we tend to have. This light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So it's a different focus than what we typically have on this earth in our mortal bodies. We tend to just look a little ways down the road, not very far. Paul looked a lot farther down the road. And it's interesting that God just never tells us to stop doing something without giving us something to replace it. He doesn't say, stop this, and then just go on. He says, instead, do something else. You know, Paul. Another example is Paul in Philippians, when he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and gives us a whole list of things to dwell on instead of our worries. Whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is of good repute, and so on and so forth, all through there. So he gives us something else to do, and that's what David does here in this passage. And I want to highlight three things, and you guys already hit these things pretty hard. First one is in verse 3, trust in the Lord. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. So trust in the Lord. Again, we say we trust in the Lord, but sometimes we don't really quite trust in him, because we kind of hedge our bets a little bit, or we just get impatient and we don't want to trust. And he says, do good. So what's do good? Well, that is to do what it is that God wants us to do. So we obey him. Dwell in the land. And I didn't see anything in any commentaries that really explained this, but dwelling in the land, that they were in the land that God had given them. And it's sort of like our modern, his equivalent of our modern expression, to bloom where you've been planted. Mike talks about that, that God has put you in this place for strategic reasons for you to be a witness there. This is what it is to dwell in the land, to bloom where you're planted, to be used by God where you're at, and to do good stuff for him. And then it says befriend faithfulness. And I'm not sure that's the best rendering of the original in this, because there are other translations. And here's the way I like to read it. Dwell in the land and cultivate, or excuse me, feed on faithfulness. Feed on faithfulness, to dwell on it, to get our energy from it, to rehearse it. Think back about all those times that God has been faithful to you in the past, that he hasn't let you down, that he's taken you through tough situations, and then you can look back at Scripture and you can see things there that God has done to demonstrate his power and his faithfulness and his love, and you can see it in the lives of our friends. And so it really helps, and it should give us energy and confidence and joy when we look at those things. You know, the old saying is, in the stock market, when a stock portfolio is always tell you that past performance is not an indicator of future performance. Well, with God it is. God's past performance does help to guarantee his future performance, and we can count on that. David says in Psalm 103, and if you get time this afternoon, just read Psalm 103 and 104. These are wonderful songs where David recounts how God has blessed him and what he's done for us. And in verses 2 through 5 of Psalm 103, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." That's where we get our energy from blessing the Lord and meditating on these benefits, these wonderful things that he has done for us. Move our focus off of the injustice that we see all around us and put our focus on Christ and what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. Even when it just looks like everybody's against us and nothing's working out right, we know that when we look in the long run, that God is going to see us through this. Next thing, delight in the Lord. You guys mentioned that one as well, to delight him, in him. How are you going to delight in somebody you don't know? That's why I suggested Psalm 103 and 104. As we read through those, and we get to know God better, and we'll have more reason to delight in him, to love in him. As a matter of fact, what David says here is pretty close to what Jesus said is the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your heart with all your soul and your mind and your strength. That's what delight is. Delight comes from loving him, and then we delight in him, and we love him, and that is going to change our perspective a great deal. And he will give you the desire of your heart. Good. I've been wanting a new EV car. There's a particular one that I've been wanting for a long time, and if I delight in him, he'll give me one, right? That's what the name and claim it preachers would tell you. No. You guys know that doesn't work that way. In fact, I think you said, Phil, that he will change your desires. He makes a desire adjustment in us when we delight in him, because we start to see things more from his perspective, and we start wanting to please him more. And now the things that we long for aren't the same things that we longed for before we knew him and before we loved him. And so he changes that. So if you're feeling really frustrated because you're not getting your way, maybe you need to take a re-examination of where your delight is focused. Could be misplaced. And then the third thing is commit to the Lord in verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. There's that trust word again. But commit, I mean, what is it to commit? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Just lean into him and commit yourself to him. Commit and trust are really largely the same thing. And count on him. You don't have a plan B. You only have one plan, and that is God. He is our primary and our only one, because we are not to worry. In fact, 2 Peter 3:13 says, but according to his promise we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's what we're waiting for. We're not waiting for anything particular to happen here, except that we want to see people saved so that they can be looking forward to that as well. That's our target. Our target isn't social justice. What good is it to have social justice if people still burn for eternity? The goal is changed hearts that people follow Christ, and that's our target. And then they will see that righteousness down the road, and they will have these same joys that we have. So how do we stop this fretting and envying? That's what Davis just told us how to do, didn't he? Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, and commit yourself to the Lord and practice these things. It takes daily practice. You got to keep reminding yourself to do these things. Some people put Bible verses on the bathroom mirror. I know somebody who does that a lot. And I find it an encouragement, too, that she puts these verses on the mirror, stuff like that. And I go, that's really cool. So do that. Remind yourself of these things, especially the verses that will encourage us to put our trust in him. Okay, well, that's easy to say. It's easy to decide. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, who wants to go through life miserable? Wouldn't you rather go through life trusting and joyful? So, yeah, it sounds easy, but it's not easy to do. So I want to encourage you to remind yourself to do these things, these three things in particular. Ask God to help you practice them, to not forget, and make them into a habit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are faithful, that we can count on you always in every situation, no matter how horrible it looks. Some of us have been going through some really terrible times. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us, though, whether we're going through good, peaceful, smooth times right now, or the road is really rocky. Help us to remember that you are there with us, that you go before us, that you are our fortress, and you are also the one who paves the way for us. So help us to trust in you for all of these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today we're going to do something a little different. For our closing song, we're actually not going to sing the closing song. We're actually going to read the words as a silent meditation. I'm going to play the song. But what's great about the author that's writing this is called Even If. It's on your song sheet. It says Even If. It talks about, the author's talking about sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And he's talking about he's losing a lot at this point. But there's about this, as Jerry said, commitment, trust. Trusting in God, hoping in him alone. So we'll read these words silently. You can stay seated, and I'll play it if I can get it to work here, and we'll just close out, and then we'll have a prayer after that. Jerry will close us in prayer.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Is it well with your soul? Even when it hurts? You know, the man who wrote it is well with my soul had just lost his entire family and his business. And yet he could say it is well with my soul. My prayer is that you'd be able to say that no matter, even in the good times and even in the bad times. The prophet Habakkuk starts out his little book with a complaint, a big one. He says, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. So he complains to God, and God says, don't worry, Habakkuk, I got it taken care of. I've already dealt with the northern kingdom. I've punished them with Assyria, and now the Chaldeans are going to come in and punish Judah. And Habakkuk is like, that's not exactly what I had in mind. And God says, don't worry, I'm going to punish them too, which didn't do Habakkuk a lot of good either. But yet he was able to say this. Here's how he concludes in Habakkuk 3:16-19. He says, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on the high places, even after learning what is to come that is going to be so unpleasant. Let's pray. Father, help us to trust in you, to delight in you, and to commit ourselves to you, to do that on a daily basis. Lord, help us to remember these things, that you are our salvation and you are our strength. Help us to remember that you make our feet like the deer's. We ask that you would help us to tread on the high places, even though things around us are so dark and grim. Father, we help us to do that so that people will see that mindset in us, and that will give power to our witness as we go about serving each other and our communities this week as we enter into Fellowship Week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.